This is Sunday, September 27th, 2020. If you would please open your Bibles and read our scriptures this week in Psalms 34, 1 through 8, and John 4, 5 through 15. I'd ask you to follow along as I read from Exodus 17, 1 through 7. Water from the rock. Verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses, and they said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Well, then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." Well, the Lord answered Moses. He said, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called that place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today our message is titled Water, Physical and Spiritual. Is there anything else as miraculous as water? Well, search the cosmos for other signs of life. So far, planet Earth is the only blue planet. It is the vast oceans of our world that have made it possible for all the life forms we know to develop on our planet. The first creation story in Genesis begins with its feet wet. Before any other creating can occur, God must gather the waters and separate a heavenly dome out of them. And we cannot perceive even the primordial beginnings of life without water. For water is the fluid of life. Well, both Exodus and John texts deal with the human need for water. And in the Exodus test, the people are so thirsty, in need of physical water, that they threaten Moses' life and wish themselves back in Egypt. What the people don't realize, however, is that the water they most desperately need is the spiritual water, the living water of faith that God provides. And despite Moses' warnings, the people seem oblivious to anything but the dust in their throats. In the gospel text for this week, it recounts Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in John 4, 5 through 15. Well, in response to Jesus' words about living water, spiritual water, this woman shows great enthusiasm for such a drink. Yet her first response seems to indicate that she looks at this living water as a labor-saving device, as physical water. And she will be free from the weary walk to the well to draw up water for herself and her husband. The spiritual water Jesus offers will make her free, but not in the way she imagines. Both the rebellious Israelites and the woman at the well recognized that water was a resource that living things need every day for health and strength. Well, most of us still don't take in the optimum amount of water for our bodies. You know, it's recommended that we consume at least 6 to 8 ounce glasses of water every day to keep adequately hydrated. Under conditions of great heat and exertion or stress, that amount increases dramatically. Survival course teachers, they warn their students that while they can exist for a few weeks, even a month without food, unless they find water in 4 or 5 days, they are doomed. We are that dependent on the life-giving fluid we call water. Because life without water is impossible for human beings. So the continued vitality of the church is as dependent upon the constant flow of water, of spiritual water. Christ's living water, as our bodies are on physical water, or H2O, we cannot subsist on a sip now and then. Our spiritual health depends on the constant hydration only this spiritual water can bring to our souls. For only water can quench our physical thirst, and living water our spiritual thirst, but everyone picks up that water using different containers with different handles. The only way to increase our supply of living water is to invite others in to take a drink. You see, living water, it doesn't have a very long shelf life. In fact, a new shipment must be received every new generation. Just as the human body can exist only a few days without water, so the body of Christ can only exist as long as the next generation of believers is being offered its fill of spiritual water. So trust the water, for it alone has the power to heal, to transform, and to save. Our job is simple. It's to get people to drink. What happens after that is beyond us. It's up to every Christian, every believer, to make sure the spiritual water of God's redeeming love through Jesus Christ is made accessible for the taste of the next generations to come. As long as we don't try to tamper with the recipe, living water, like plain old H2O, is perfectly adaptable to almost any shape or size of a container. So the important point is this: the content remains the same while the container changes. Because everyone needs a shape that fits their own hands or their own souls. Well, look at it this way. Every time Bonnie and I take a trip together, I fix us coffee. I usually make sure that the cup I prepare for myself has a handle that I can fit my big fingers into. You see, I have what Bonnie often calls a leaky lip. That's because I have a tendency to wear what I'm drinking. And when I prepare Bonnie's, well, she likes her coffee a little sweeter than mine, so I add some sweet and low. The cup I put it in doesn't really matter. She doesn't have leaky lip. The point is, the container which holds the coffee and the preparation of the coffee is different for both of us. But the content is the same. It's coffee, and it quenches our thirst. Well, in these difficult times, you know, during this pandemic and the elections looming, we need to find new or different ways to prepare the water we all need to quench our thirst. In fact, if the church is to survive, it needs to figure out how to prepare both physical and spiritual water to quench the thirst of all in ways it has never before even dreamed of. So let's look at physical and spiritual water and their properties. So number one, physical water is still until you dip your hands into it. So unless you were willing to get wet, water can't do its work. For spiritual water, it has no healing power unless the water is troubled. You know, quiet waters are where you go when you see yourself, your good features, and your imperfections as in a mirror. Where troubled waters are where you go to get healed. They reveal to you where you need to change. Secondly, physical water, it can take different forms. It can be a liquid, a gas, or a solid. In whatever shape it takes, it's still the same. The same is true for spiritual waters. We can present the gospel in many different ways, be it through music or preaching or by example via the internet, written or audio or visual. Third, in water as in life, it's not true that anything goes. Water doesn't flow uphill. Water obeys certain logic and laws. It is the nature of water to flow downward. You know, the way wisdom is transmitted from higher to lower levels. Well, the same is true in both physical and spiritual waters. Number four, think of a fountain, a jet of water. Throughout the history of the Christian church, the fountain has been one of the supreme symbols of perfection. And Jesus, he's called a fountain of living water. Well, a fountain is something which is simultaneously rest and movement, always changing, always staying the same, ever new and ever old. The fountain expresses power and it contains light. A fountain is the exuberant play of the fundamental elements of light and water, issuing without interruption from a single point of divine origin. Number five, flowing water is purifying and cleansing. So like in a river, as the physical water flows over the rocks, it is purified. The same is true in spiritual water. As it flows over us, we become pure and clean as the Holy Spirit does its job. Number six, so as a fluid, water can merge with its medium. As in preparing a meal, the physical water we add becomes part of anything we prepare. In the same way in life, if we add spiritual water, it becomes part of who we are. So let me say this one more time. If the church is to survive, it needs to figure out how to prepare both physical and spiritual water to quench the thirst of all in ways it has never before even dreamed of. For only spiritual water quenches people's eternal thirst. And as long as the content, the living water, the spiritual water, remains the same, while the container changes. So everyone needs a shape that fits their own hands, their own souls. At the same time, the help most people seek from God today is a spiritual, invisible aid, courage before crisis, or comfort in grieving, or clarity in decision-making, and forgiveness for a battle-scarred conscience. God gives us living water, too. And not only is God's help boat today both physical and spiritual, but the two natures of that help are still inseparably bound. How can a hungry person be given food without also finding acceptance, love, and hope? What troubled person, calmed and inspired by forgiveness of or joy or hope, is not better able to use the resources God has given him? So often the best way to find one kind of help is to look for the other. God best helps those people with a problem of the spirit, such as depression or loneliness, by prompting them to find a physical way to serve others. They may make dinner for a neighbor just home from the hospital, volunteer to drive for Meals on Wheels, become a big brother or big sister to a parentless child. It's almost miraculous how helping others with their problems can make our own less painful and more manageable. Likewise, God's living waters can be far more tangible than just a spiritual lift. So get on your knees to ask for the right relationship with him. And you may also find him giving healing for an illness or a sudden job opening when you're unemployed and frantic with the search. For God is not so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. So one more thing. The inseparableness of God's physical and spiritual involvement in the world should remind us of how we are to act. For there's more to living as his people than serving others. Our growth as Christians is stunted without prayer and study and a worship life. And at the same time, calloused knees means little without calloused hands. So don't let God be too small. And don't let yourself be too small. The waters he offers can quench every type of thirst we dare have. In his service, this is Pastor Joe.